Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
Anyway, if you have your Bible this morning, go to Exodus chapter 3. Let's pray. Father God, as we prepare our hearts to look into your word, Jesus, we want to see you. Jesus, speak to us. We believe that your word is living and active and powerful and able to encourage us and guide us, but also sharpen us and, if necessary, correct us. And so whatever needs to be done in our lives, let it happen. God, let faith blossom, and Lord, awaken us if we need to be awakened. Lord God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week, we began this new series entitled Defining Moments, and we began just talking in Exodus chapter 2 as we kind of unpacked Moses' beginning and took some lessons from that, and this week, as we step into it, this conversation from Exodus chapter 3, let me ask you a question. In the last week, how many of you had some defining moments unfold in your life? Just in the last week, just in the last 7 days, you saw some things unfold. I mean, I look out this morning, and I look over here, and I see Rochelle Wilson with us this morning. Can we give the Lord a praise offering? That just 2 weeks ago or thereabouts, she was in the ICU unit hooked up to a ventilator because of COVID. And then she went from ICU to kind of an in-between room to a regular room, and she was like there for like, it felt like maybe 12 hours, and they're like, hey, you're leaving, you're out of here, to a rehab place, to where at that rehab place she was there for not even like 24 hours, and they said, you're going home. And there was several reasons behind that, but how many know that's a defining moment, a situation like that, right? I think about when we came out of our 21 days of fasting and prayer, and that we had our Sunday night celebration, and Jessica Taylor came up here and just shared her testimony of what God did in her life and spoke to her and some things that were unfolding in her life. And she shared about an opportunity that looked like it was going to swing wide open before her, and she would be transitioning to our school district with a new job. It was like a defining moment. But in a moment's notice, God took that defining moment and shifted it to a closed door and an open door of something where she's at, where it was just like this defining moment. This 2 weeks ago, we had a defining moment in our home as me and my sisters made the decision to put my mom back on hospice for a season. And it's not because there's like a timeline, hey, we only expect her to be around for a couple more weeks or a couple more months. But man, when you make decisions like that, that's a defining moment. Even if you've had to make it more than once, I reached out to some couple that attend here this past week, and I texted Jeff Cherney. Jeff and Sarah Cherney had a defining moment last July where they were 2 weeks from delivery of a precious little girl. And they lost Katie. And I texted Jeff this week and I said, hey, is she showing? And he said, oh, yeah, there is no hiding the baby within her womb. Cool thing is, he texted me, and he said this. The baby, it's a girl. That's what Katie was, obviously. Will be born. Her due date is on Katie's birthday. Isn't that just, wow. A defining moment, so obviously continue to pray for them, and I asked them if I could share that, you know, with you all, and they said absolutely. They're on their way back from Ohio. They were at a wedding over the weekend, but life is full of defining moments. Today we come to Exodus 3 and we look at a defining moment in the life of Moses with what is known as the burning bush. If you're not familiar with Moses, Moses is introduced to us in the book of Exodus. He is born an Israelite, but was raised in the palace of the Egyptian Pharaoh, the Egyptian king. He was strategic to leading the nation of Israel out of slavery from the Egyptians. And whenever you read about the Egyptians or you see Egypt mentioned, it's always a picture of sin spiritually. And he delivers them out, and they are led throughout a series of defining moments, which we're going to be unpacking through this series. And God wants to lead you through moments like that in your life. How many know God doesn't waste those moments? You may be going through a challenging time right now. God is not in the business of wasting a moment. Your moment may feel, you may think, man, it's really trite, it's insignificant, it's trivial. But God doesn't waste moments in our life. As we step into 2022, I hope that you are stepping in with expectation in your heart. I hope that as we walk through this series, there's this holy courage, there's this holy confidence rising up within you, that what God did and how God led Moses, that he can do it with you too. I hope that as you go through your day, and that your prayer would be as my prayer. May my prayer be as this as well. Lord, let me not miss or waste these moments. That even if I feel like they're insignificant, oh God, would you let them be defining moments for me? Let me take hold of this day that's before me and lead me like you led Moses. And as we said a bit ago, we're in Exodus chapter 3 this morning. Understand that as we come to Exodus 3, 40 years have passed since Exodus 2 and the start of Exodus 3, right? 40 years since Moses saw an Egyptian beating an Israelite and he tried to step into his defense. 40 years since he came to the aid of that countryman and he killed the Egyptian and buried him in the sand. 40 years since Moses fled for his life because Pharaoh found out what Moses did in taking out the Egyptian and put a bounty out on him. We know it's 40 years because in Acts chapter 7 we read this. Do you want to kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday? When Moses heard this, he fled to Midian, where he settled as a foreigner and had two sons. After 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to Moses in the flames of a burning bush in the desert near Mount Sinai. It was said of Moses by D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody was a great preacher of yesteryear, a revival preacher, powerful man. But Moody said this, Moses spent his first 40 days thinking that he was somebody. He spent the next 40 years, learning that he was a nobody. And he spent the third 40 years of his life discovering what God can do with a nobody. One author said of Moody's statement, you and I, though we may never achieve the age of 120, live in one of those three stages at this very moment that you find yourself in. We either think that we're somebody, or we have advanced enough to realize that we are nobody, or we have finally discovered what God can do with a nobody. Aren't you glad that God never gives up on you? You may feel washed up, but God can clean you up. Right? You may feel broken down, but God restores the brokenhearted. You may feel insignificant, but God calls to you from the fire and says, I can use you. You may feel like you are like the grand champion of belly flop masters because every time you try to do something, man, you're just like, bam. And God says, I can use you. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1, look at it. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. And as we walk through this message today, I'm going to read a portion and just kind of insert some thoughts, right? And last week we looked in Exodus 2, we saw that Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, that his name there in Exodus 2 was Reuel. So it's like, okay, so is he Reuel or is he Jethro? Because I don't know about you, when I think of Jethro, guess what I think of? Come on, everybody, sing it with me. Now listen to a story about it, right? I mean, it just makes you want to sing the song if you're like, that's what are they talking about? Just watch TV Land and you'll find it. But Jethro, maybe he was playing to his title, which means excellency. He is the priest of Midian, so Jethro may be dealing with his title, perhaps. But Reuel, that name means friend of God. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Throw up that map, if you would, just to kind of give you a picture of what's going on here. Egypt is up in the top left corner would be Egypt. And then so he's bringing him down to where the number one is. That's Mount Sinai. Horeb would be off to the right there. It's modern day Saudi Arabia. In your geological map, that kind of gives you a bearing of where he's at. So the question then becomes this for you and I. At this point, the people of Israel are still back in slavery in Egypt, right? Moses finds himself at Horeb, and he steps into the next 40 years of his life. He will be exploring the land that God will have him bring the people of Israel to. Does Moses know that? No. But how many know? God never wastes a moment or a season. He's learning where the water holes are on the trade, where the trade routes are. He's learning the typography and where different people groups are located as he's caring for his father-in-law's sheep. And the lesson is, again, God never wastes an opportunity. God never wastes a season in your life. Every single day has value. Every day has a purpose, whether you realize it, see it, fully understand it, which usually we don't. Every day you're walking with God. He is training and preparing us. God is developing us for the next season. And I look at my life and I see that playing true over and over and over again. God was doing that with Moses, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. It says, an angel of the Lord, 67 times in the Old Testament, an angel of the Lord appears. I mean, you see it in Genesis, you see it later on in the minor prophets. But this isn't just an ordinary angel. Right, there's an ordinary angel. It's a supernatural being. So it's just, you're just an ordinary angel. That's kind of depressing. Unimpressive. No, but this isn't just an ordinary angel. Notice, depending on what your translation is, and the ESV, Lord is capitalized. It's an angel of Jehovah. Angel of Yahweh. In other words, this is God. This is the second person of the Trinity, scholars would tell us. Jesus Christ is in pre-incarnate form in this moment before Moses. So Moses, as he's gazing at this bush that has lit up, suddenly not only is he not gazing at the bush anymore, he's gazing at the very face of God. I mean, how many know that's a defining moment? What did God do in the New Testament? He sent Jesus. The Message paraphrase says in John chapter 1 that the Word, speaking of Jesus, became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. You and I just pause here real fast because it would be easy for us to read over Exodus chapter 3 really fast, but there's a lot going on here. He is seeing the face of Jesus, right? Looking in, it's an angel of the Lord. It's Christ incarnate. But also he's hearing the Father's voice, Moses, Moses. And later on we read that the Spirit came upon Moses as it did 70 elders, and they prophesy. So here in the second book, and you see it in the first book of the Old Testament as well, is you see the three members of the Godhead participating in the life of Moses. All of God doing all that God does. All of God revealing himself to and through Moses. And all of God doing the same thing in our life as we live a life defined by God. Look at it in verse 2. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. It's not normal. I mean, this is not like your everyday, just out for a stroll moment. He looked, and behold, a bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. I mean, behold, it's just like, wow. If something isn't normal or natural, then guess what? It's supernatural. He's watching this bush that's on fire but not burning up. And it says in verse 3, and Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called him out of the bush. Moses, Moses, he said, here am I. You see this bit of repetition happening here. And whenever you see such activity, whenever you see repetition within the pages of Scripture, make a mental note of yourself of, man, what is God trying to say to me? What's God trying to say to the people? That he would repeat an activity more than once. He's emphasizing something. Notice a couple things from this passage. Moses is seeing something that's unnatural. We need to keep our eyes open for God working in our life because he's working all the time. How often are the times that we're not watching? God sends burning bushes all the time. Maybe not to the extreme of what Moses is encountering, but all that's going on here is something isn't normal. Right? Maybe you're in a situation and you're dealing with somebody and a response isn't normal. Take heed of that. Maybe circumstances aren't normal that you're experiencing. Take heed of that. What is God trying to say? Is God speaking to me in this situation? Look, we have been in a season for 2 years now that's not normal. Do you realize 2 years ago we had a team in Colombia this very Sunday doing a missions trip? And I can remember as we were heading to the airport that day and watching the monitors and them talking about this thing that's going on in China and how it's beginning to spread. I think at that point Italy was being affected by it. And regardless of what you think about COVID, whether you think, well, it's true, it's extreme, we got to be extremely cautious, or you're like, you know, it's not that big of a deal, it's just a common cold. I don't care what your opinion is about. Listen to me. We are in a 2-year season now that is not normal. Right? No matter what your opinion is of it, it's not been normal. There's a lot of other words that I'd like to put upon it to describe it, but I won't do that. I want to keep my credential cards for another year. And I say all that to say this. Regardless of your opinion, regardless of what you have discovered or what you've studied, listen to me. God is doing something right now. God is wanting to speak to people. God is wanting to speak to me. He's wanting to speak to you. Don't miss the moment. A burning bush could be a person. You watch them and you see the favor of God upon their life and you're just like, man, I want that. How come that happens to them and not to me? Your burning bush could be trouble. Things were going smoothly, and then all of a sudden, things got a little bit funky. You realize there is more. You realize you need something more, and you call out to God. Maybe your burning bush right now is emptiness. Man, I pursued this. I wanted this job. I wanted this career. I wanted this income. I wanted this Jeep. I wanted whatever, right? And it's like, I had it, but I'm not fulfilled. Moses sees this burning bush and notice the response. He turns aside. That is different than just realizing the presence of God, or that's different than, oh, that was a good service, man. I felt pretty good after I left church today, and man, it, you know, that was just good. It was just good. I felt something. I got goosebumps. No, it is turning. It is leaving. It's turning to God. If we want to capitalize on defining moments, we have to learn to turn aside and capture the moment. We have to stop and gaze upon the face of God. And this is why, friends, this is why church coming and attending and being a part of a local body of believers is so, so important for you and I. This is why worship is so important. I mean, I was like, church started, and I was like, man, did the rapture happen? Because no one's, like, where is everybody? Yeah. And I'm glad you're here. I'm not getting on you. Please understand my heart. But when we have moments to come and worship, we set ourselves up to hear from the Lord, to allow the Lord to tenderize our hearts. That is why daily quiet time is so important for you and I. It's readying your heart because God may speak to us in that moment. It's you and I disciplining ourselves, developing the habit of turning aside and focusing on the Lord. It's breaking away from the angst and the anchors of this world and setting our face to what God is speaking and God and what God is doing. What am I saying? Unless you and I develop the habit of turning away, positioning ourselves before the Lord, we will miss defining moments. And to circle back, the last 2 years, I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss what God is wanting to do right now.
Amen.
I need to get God's word in my heart because it renews my mind. It causes peace to fill my heart. And unless I get that, I'll miss out. If Moses in the desert doesn't turn aside, he's going to miss out. Do you understand that? I mean, do you see that? Verse 3, and Moses said, I'll turn aside to see the great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses, what do you see there? Repetition. You see that several times within the pages of Scripture as God's trying to get people's attention. It happens with Abraham. Abraham, Abraham. It happens. Jesus does it with Peter. He says, Simon, Simon. Or Martha, Martha. It isn't just an intensity. I mean, when Robin says, Steve, Steve. Right? It's not just to get my attention. Sometimes it's Steve, Steve. Right? Hey, just seeing. Listen, it just isn't intensity, there's intimacy. Moses, Moses. It's desire for relationship. It's desire for investment. God calling him to himself. And Moses said, here I am. Now check this out. I mean, you look at verse 5 and you're like, I'm confused. This totally makes me confused. It almost sounds hypocritical. Moses, come here, in verse 4. And then he said, do not come near. It's like Simon says, right? Take your sandals off your feet. The place on which you are standing is holy ground. It almost feels like, is this a paradox? What's going on here? Is there intimacy with God? Yes. Is there friendship with God? Yes. But friendship and intimacy, listen to me, doesn't mean you do away with holiness and transcendence of God. God is calling Moses. God is inviting Moses, but he is also reminding him to be careful. Because he is God, he is holy, he is separate, he is set apart, he is transcendent, he is omniscient, he is majestic. And we were made like him, but he isn't like us. I mean, the heavens declare the glory of God, the psalmist tells us. Jesus manifested the image of the invisible God to humanity. His word lights our path and makes him clear before us. And Moses asks in a few verses later, "Who are you? And who do I say sent me?" And God replies to him in verse 14. Look at it. "And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you." The world says, I want God to be loving. God is just a God of love. Love, 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 love. Which God is a God of love. We know that. I want God to make my life easy. Therefore, he's an easy peasy God, right? Because surely he wants to make my life good. God does want to make your life good. I want God, you to be okay with whatever I do, however I live, whatever decisions I make. Whatever the world says is okay is what I want you to be okay with. And God's going, no, that's not who I am. I'm not like you. I am holy. I am majestic. I mean, that's how the world does it, right? I mean, I have a friend, he's in the ministry out in Colorado, and I see the things that he posts on Facebook, and I'm just like, I don't know that God. Because that God gives license to lifestyles that are not the best for that individual. Do you really want a God fashioned in your own image? Look back at verse 6. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. This speaks of our eternal relationship with God. So awesome. Notice, God doesn't say, I was. I was the God of Abraham. I was the God of Isaac. I was the God of Jacob. But I am. Meaning, I'm still enjoying fellowship with them. They are alive and with me because I'm an eternal God. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Do you know what that speaks to us? It speaks of friendship. It speaks of relationship with God. But it also speaks awesome wonder because of who he is. And God reveals his plan to Moses in verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt. And I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings. I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to a place of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and all the Ites. But notice something. It says, God sees, God hears, God knows, God delivers. Pick up in Exodus chapter 2, verse 24. You hear something very similar. And God heard their groaning. God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God saw the people of Israel, and God knew. Listen, we have a God who hears. When you pray, be confident that God hears you when you pray. You aren't wasting your time, nor are you wasting your words. He remembers. He remembers his word. He remembers his covenant. He remembers his promises. He sees you in the situation you are in right now. He has, but not only does he see you, but he has a wide angle view of what's going on in you and around you and what's coming down the pike. He sees, and he knows. The NIV says, and I like it, the NIV says concerned. Not this flippant, they'll get over it. He'll get through it. He has a lot more in his tank than he thinks he does. He just needs to buckle up. It's not this, another little tear. They'll wake up tomorrow and grind through it. No, it's concern. It's God is doing something. God is going to do something about what he sees, what he hears, what he knows. Look at it, verse 8. And I have come down to deliver them. I've seen it, I've heard it, and I'm coming. I mean, I don't know what God is fully doing in this season that we find ourselves in, but I do know this. God sees it. God hears us, and God is coming. Psalms 18:6. But in my distress, listen to the psalmist, I cried out to the Lord. Yes, I prayed to God for help. He heard me from his sanctuary. My cry to him reached his ears. Psalms 18, verse 9. He opened the heavens and came down. How many of you know God doesn't panic at our request? Great. Someone else is praying. Oh, no. I mean, I'm not recommending the movie. I saw it a long time ago. And I don't even remember I just remember the scene in Bruce Almighty where he's playing God and he's getting barraged by all the requests, and if my memory serves me right, and don't go and watch the movie and correct me if I'm wrong, all right, but he more or less just has this meltdown as all these petitions are just coming to him, right? No, when we pray, Scripture, he opens the heavens and comes down. It may be with comfort, it may be with peace, sometimes it's just his presence. It's just his presence, just, I have you, I'm with you. It's a hard time, I get that, but I'm covering you. Hear my heart, lean up against my, I'm with you. He opens the heavens, he comes down, he delivers, he sets the captives free, he opens blind eyes, he saves the lost, verse 8. And I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. Again, remember what Egypt represents. It represents slavery, it represents sin. And God wants to deliver you from the slavery of sin, right? To set you free and make you whole. To bring them up out of that. God just doesn't want to set you free. He wants to raise you above that which was entangling you. He doesn't want you to wallow in it. We were laughing the other night or the other day as they were decorating for the Speed of Light banquet. I don't remember how we got on the conversation, but conversation went back to when our boys were younger and we had 4-H pigs. And we raised those pigs. Our pigs were of such high quality that they got too fat. And so we had to walk our pigs twice a day, a mile each time. So we'd walk our pigs, man, and we'd walk them a half mile down, and they knew where the post was. and they would turn around and they would beeline it back to their pen and do a belly flop. God wants to raise you above your situation. He doesn't want us to wallow in it. A land to a good and broad land. He wants to bring us out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here's the deal. God is giving Moses these defining moments, but these moments aren't just meant for Moses alone. He wants to use what he gives us to help others, to bring deliverance, to bring blessings to others. Look at it, verse 10. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. May the purpose of defining moments that we encounter be bigger than just about me. But may they be so that God can work through your testimony, that God can work through your test, and it would touch other people's lives. Oh God, stretch out your hand. God, use my hands. John chapter 20, verse 21. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." Let's just not think defining moments are about just you and me. God wants to show his power through you. I didn't ask Caleb for permission to do this, but I'm going to take liberty as his dad. And he won't care. But he got a tattoo a couple weeks ago on his arm. If it was somewhere else, I wouldn't tell you got a tattoo. But why do I say things like that? But he got a tattoo right on his arm. It has a mountain and some trees, and it says Survivor. And I will unpack it for you if you're interested in it and you want to compare your tattoo with his or whatever, then you can have that conversation. But there's a story to the tattoo. Oh my goodness, the preacher's son got a tattoo. It doesn't. You should see me and Robin's tattoo that we got. I'm going to be in so much trouble today. We really don't have any, all right? We don't have any. I should have just left you hanging, though. I wonder what Steve's tattoo's like. Go on. All right? But there's a story behind that. Because God wants to use your story. Maybe you don't have a tattoo, but you have a scar. A story that will and can bring the presence and the power of God into someone's life. That's Moses. Let me ask you, who needs to hear that story? Who do you need to share your story with? So many of us, we're so like Moses, aren't we? When we think about God using us. Look at it, verse 11. Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? I'm just a shepherd in the outback. No one knows me. Who am I?" Understand this, please. We can't exempt ourselves from this. You can. That's an option. I'm out. That's an option. But we have to choose. God, here I am. I've seen you work. I know your presence. Here I am. I'm available. The results, God, are up to you. But here I am. I can only stop the results if I exempt myself. God, I see you working. Saw your face in the bush. I'm out. It's too big. It's too costly. Too uncomfortable. I mean, isn't really that a lot of our issue? Who am I? I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not strong enough. I have this issue. I have this past. I have this failure. And what's God's response to all of that? Oh, yeah. Thanks for reminding me. I forgot. Nope. Look at verse 12. And God said, I'll be with you. And this will be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you've brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses says, God, who am I? And God says, you will find out when you bring the people to the mountain and you worship me. What's this say to us if the worship team would come? There's a whole, you look at Moses' response and his excuses. Who am I? What do I tell them? What do I have to say? What if they don't believe me or listen to me? What if I'm not a good speaker? I can't talk. And he goes on and on. God sends someone else. Why did you send me? I did my part. You didn't do yours. I mean, you read through the first six chapters of Exodus, and you see excuse after excuse after excuse. God, the people don't listen. Pharaoh doesn't listen. Realize something. Until he gets into the presence of God, 40 years in the desert can't work the self out of him. No, the reality is, for all of us, no amount of miracles can work the self out of him. No amount of miracles can work the self out of you. God is doing incredible miracles in Moses. I mean, he's seeing the Red Sea part. He's seeing the 10 plagues. But none of those work the self out of him. There's this ongoing battle that you see Moses having. It's not until he gets to Mount Sinai and he gets into the presence of God and comes down. He comes down as a different person. You can read about it in Exodus chapter 34. He's up on the mountain for 40 days. Right? And he comes down. And what does it say about Moses' countenance? It's glowing. And people's response to that, Moses doesn't even know he has the copper tone tan or something going on. He's just like glowing. And Moses doesn't know that he's radiating the presence of God in such a way, does he? And the people are like, hey, we got to cover your face. I mean, you're shining, you're radiating so much. Let me just give you three quick observations as we wrap this up. Number one, God wants to reveal himself to us, but we have to make time for that encounter. In other words, we have to turn aside. Every time in my life where I've gone through a season, or I've gone through whether I needed God to move in a situation, or I just felt like I was just kind of coasting in my walk of faith, and it wasn't that I was doing anything wrong, but it was just like, just felt like I had been eating manna for 40 days, if you know what I'm saying. And I intentionally turn aside. God has met me in every one of those times. And you're like, Steve, we're just like two weeks removed from the Daniel fast. I mean, chill out. Super Bowl Sunday. I want wings today. Look, God wants to reveal himself to us. But we have to make time for that encounter. There's times where God will come in like a mighty rushing wind, but even in those mighty rushing wind moments, what did the people do? They turned aside. Secondly, God wants to use us so people can be delivered from the slavery of their sin. Don't discount your testimony. Oh, I've been a Christian all my life. I don't understand sin. Huh, yeah, you do. Just ask your family. God wants to use us so people can be delivered from the slavery of sin. And number three, God wants to change us and show us who he created us to be. And that happens as we spend time in his presence. And it's amazing, isn't it, how fast distractions come upon you? Right? And God is saying, Moses. But today, maybe God's saying, Rochelle, you're still time on my clock. You're still here. I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, and the God of Rochelle. Steve, come here. There's something I want you to do. You have a testimony. And I want to use it. Miranda, just as I was the God, or I am the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, so I am the God of Miranda. Helen, come here. I want to use you. You're full of wisdom and can deposit that into younger ladies. Come here, you have a story. I can use that. Would you bow your heads with me?
This concludes the teaching. Thank you for listening, and we hope you can join us for next Sunday's service with Pastor Steve Raines.